Thank you so much, BBS Radio. It is today, January the 11th, 2017. I welcome you all to tonight's episode of If You Have Questions, We Have Answers, channel to our beautiful friend Terry Brown in Sedona, and we are waiting for her and the host, Winfrey, to be here live in just a few minutes. This is, as usual, a simulcast for a conference call. We had another person join in over here. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Carolyn. I'm in Chico.
Hello, Carolyn. Welcome to the call.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I think I'm going to make it. Good heavens.
Yes.
And we had a rain-free day today.
Yes.
Which was unusual.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved it yesterday. It was sometimes it just, did it pour up in Magalia?
Yes, it certainly did.
But you're up higher. Did you get snow?
No snow. No, a little bit higher up snow, a little higher up than Magalia.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Well, it was wonderful, and today was another wonderful day.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you so will be tomorrow.
All right. Thank you for being here, Carolyn.
Oh, I'm just so glad that I remembered in time to get on. And my car has been towed down to San Jose, and then the mechanic got sick. We got the flu, so I won't have it until next week.
All right. But it's being worked, and it's good to know where
it's being worked on by the best mechanic.
Fantastic. We had somebody else join in. Good evening to you, and welcome. Please say your name and location.
This is Bonnie in Corona.
Hi, Bonnie. Good evening to you. Welcome.
Hi, everyone.
Hi. Bonnie, where is Corona?
It is in Riverside County. We're about 20 miles away from Disneyland.
Oh, my gosh. You must go there more than a year.
Not anymore. When I was young.
Well, you're still young at heart.
Mm-hmm. All right, welcome to all of you. Thank you for being here. I think somebody else. No, I think I have them all. Yes. We're still like 2 minutes away from the hour, so we wait for Ben and Terry to be here shortly. And as we have done many days now, is at 7 p.m. on the West Coast, Pacific, we have a planetary healing call. You can go to wholeplanethealing.com to find out the phone number and the access code. Thank you.
Thank you. I like the email that Wynn sent out. It says 7:15, Whole Planet Healing, and then underneath there's a plane saying, hang in there. Help is on the way.
You know, it's funny that you should mention that because what Hayes and I were just talking about a few seconds ago.
Oh.
Minutes ago. Did you
hear
it?
I didn't hear it. No, I wasn't on yet.
The Bilderberg website was hacked by some hacker or hacker group, and all the negative leads have been put on notice. Either they start treating people with, you know, a lot better, you know, or else, you know, they said they have all the information about each and every one of the negative elites, and they're basically going to be, they literally have control of every, you know, of the negative elites now. The hackers.
My way or the highway.
Oh my God! So the negative elites are literally have to watch their own backs now because. They literally are under control of whatever hacker group. It could be anonymous or whatever hacker or hackers broke into their website, and they're literally threatening all the negative elites now.
We'll see what happens, John.
This is a fact. I'm just saying.
Interesting. None of us. You had more people turn in. Welcome to the call. Please say name and location.
Do we have Terry?
Well, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Oh, hi, it's Michelle in Cambria.
Oh, hi, Michelle. Oh, hi, Wynn.
Hi.
I can barely hear you in the background, Wynn. Welcome, Michelle.
Oh, thank you.
Michelle, where are you from?
Cambria, California.
And where is that?
That is in San Luis Obispo County. It's kind of close to the Hearst Castle.
Ah. Oh, neat.
Yeah, it's just really beautiful here.
Yeah.
All right, somebody else in there, welcome to the call. Your name and location.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Good evening to you, Jane, and welcome.
Thank you.
Yay, Pennsylvania. Yay, California.
Good evening, welcome. Please say your name and location.
It's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, how are you, everybody?
Good evening to you, Don, and welcome to the call.
Thanks.
Hey, Ohio.
I think we had another person joining in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi. It's Roger in Austin.
Hello, Roger. Good evening to you and welcome.
Good evening, everybody.
Texas.
80 degrees today.
80? Good evening
zero.
To the next. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hello, this is Terry from Dallas.
Good evening to you, Terry. Welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, another Texas. Yay.
Yay.
Another Terry.
Another Terry.
Welcome to the call. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Deb in Oregon.
Hi, Deb. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
More people join in. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Hello, this is Steve from Wyoming.
Welcome, Steve.
Thank you. And Chris in Memphis.
Hi, Chris. Welcome.
Hey, guys. Thank you.
Wayne, North Carolina.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Many people come in here late. Welcome to you all. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Hey, Rick, Iowa City.
Rick, welcome to the call.
Edna from Snohomish.
And welcome, Edna. Who else? Please say your name and location. Welcome to the call.
Terry,
if you want.
Sedona.
Hello, Terry. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Hi.
Have you?
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
All right. We are with a bunch of people here, and we are live on the internet through BBS Radio. Welcome to the call. Cleo, are you here?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hello, Cleo. Good to hear your voice. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Hi.
All right.
Now, is your real name Cleopatra?
Yeah, that was given to me when I was born, but I never use it because it just seems a little too much.
Your parents had quite a nerve, didn't they?
No, it was my grandmother's name. It's a Greek name, so I inherited it.
I see. Okay. So I see the Terry's here. Terry?
Yes.
Are you there, Terry?
I'm here, yeah.
You don't have a blonde joke for us, do you?
I don't know. Are we supposed to tell blonde jokes still? I got a blonde joke.
Well, I stopped telling them on the whole planet healing for the moment. But we could fit one in while we're waiting
okay.
for the next.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
How can I be ready? I'm never ready.
Oh, that's right. A blonde girl, she was sitting in the economy class on an airplane. She was going to Detroit. And she noticed that there was a seat in first class that was empty. So as soon as the plane got underway, she went and sat in the seat. And the stewardess said, "No, you have to stay in economy because you aren't allowed in first class." And she says, "The seat's empty and I'm staying here." So then one of the other officials, the co-pilot, went and talked to her. Said, "No, I'm staying here. The seat's empty and I'm staying here." And this man, he overheard this was going on, and he went up to the stewardess and he said, let me talk to her. My wife is blonde, and I know what to say to her. So he went up and talked to her, and she immediately got up and went back to economy. what did he say to her? And he says, I told her that first class wasn't going to Detroit.
Well, Jerry, you did it again.
Yeah.
You did it again. You're batting 1,000.
Yeah, well, I couldn't do it, I don't think, unless because I'm blonde, I can do it.
She's not making fun of blondes, in other words, right?
Making fun of myself.
You mean to say sometimes you're ditzy?
Yeah.
don't. Yeah, but if you weren't ditzy, you probably couldn't do what you're doing, right?
No.
It's part of being,
I like to make people laugh.
Yeah. All right. You know, I told you guys, I'm sure it's true, that Terry one time was one of the angels in, you know, she calls it the heaven area, where souls come for their review, and then all these angelic beings gather around them and try to help them clear all of their karma or their trauma from being in 3D. And so somehow she got the idea she wanted to come into 3D and see what was going on and why people were coming back so screwed up. So.
Yeah, it's like what happened. There was a particular friend I had, and it's like we were just real buddies, and he went to the Earth Realm, and when he came back, it's like I couldn't get his attention, and I'm going, hey, Frank, what's wrong with you? And I got to get here to the Earth Realm. And I said, what's going on, Frank? Just get me back there. And I got to go over there and see what is all this attraction over there.
There we are.
Yeah.
Did you figure out what the problem was?
What do you think we're doing? What do you think we're doing on all these calls?
I don't know. I've been still working on my book, which explains a lot.
All right.
Eventually, I'll get it done.
We'll get started. Okay.
Okay.
She's so happy because now she can do what she did in the other realm, in this realm.
Unmute the line.
Yeah, here we go.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
This is January 11th, 2017. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. Everyone, everywhere. And I'm about to say another whole planet healing. We are doing a whole planet healing right after this. And if you're on the internet, you have to call in on the phone to get to it in 1 hour. And tonight we're asking questions that you all have submitted. So there's some really good questions. Our questions are getting really good. These calls are really amazing. The breadth of answers come in from so many different levels, depending on the questions. And they just seem to be able to zoom right in on from most the most simplest thing to the most sophisticated metaphysical questions and just handle it all seamlessly. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. And they do seem to always, if you ask a question, and I'll tell you, if you've never asked a question, okay, so one, I think one of the reasons some people don't ask questions is because they're proud and they're afraid, oh, if I ask that question, then everyone's going to see what a numbskull I am.
But they can do it anonymously.
As long as I know who they are. But you know what? We're all numbskulls. I mean, Terry and I are the biggest numbskulls. I'm amazed myself because I know how it feels to have an image and want people to see you a certain way. And I remember those days. And you know what? You can't show up every, you know, what we're doing, showing up every day, doing 3 calls a week, and all this stuff, on some level, you can't do that. I can't do it anyway, and just hold an image. Who I am comes through, and if I didn't let it come through, I wouldn't want to do it, because then I'd have to just be propping myself up all the time to fit my image instead of just being authentic. So let's get started, and I'm going to call in the light, and then we're going to go. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the Earth, into the center of the Earth. Right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, operating in the Christed energy, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. This is Ra'an. We are aspect of the Ra group and an aspect of the Elohim group. And we combine together for the purposes of assisting your group where we can. We take a look at the planetary energy, and we see it as in a shift. The house within Arcturi is even, there's energy moving from the west to the east, through the area of California, Oregon, Washington, Alaska, South America, moving to the east. And we take a look at the energies that may be affecting people, as it is one of the coordinates that people ground to, that people identify with, and when this is in shift, particularly animals can sense it, and it is in shift at this time. We see potential for release and volcanoes and in Japan within the next few days, as predicted by such ascents, and we see the energies moving. We give love light to the people everywhere. If we ever say anything that does not make sense to you, then disregard it, as it is not meant for you. At that time, we do not come through the telephone line. We come directly to you. Do you have questions?
Yes. We have a question from, I think you pronounced his name, Kasha Alan, and I don't have a city here, but the question is not relevant. It's a general question. Good question. In the raw material, there is an exercise given which says, see the creator and seek love in the moment. Could you explain how this exercise works and how it affects the observer and the one being observed?
Thank you. When one stays in the now and stays with the energy that is in the now, and as the energy and the manifestation shift to continue to stay in the now and to experience things, then one is at the power point of their life where they can have the maximum effect, the maximum information, the maximum ability to affect their surroundings, not only affect their surroundings, but to see what is going on in their surroundings. When one dwells upon something from the past, it may help clear it if one can move through the energy, but to stay in the now, in the present, is the point of power. So when you are in the present and you are seeing things as they are and are accepting them as they are, then one has the maximum ability to handle the energies, even though someone may not like it. It is like the weeds in the backyard. One may not like the weeds, but they're there. And if you observe them, then you can do something about it. Love isn't something that should be glommed onto and try to paintbrush everything around them. But love is a basic building block. So when you can give unconditional love to your surroundings and at the same time not feel you have to paintbrush it with love when you don't really feel that, there can be a basic love of life, a basic love of information, a basic love of keeping your chakras open, that you can connect with those around you, but still within that framework, hold to the now and hold to your own boundaries it takes a multi-level paintbrush where you actually connect, and by being connected rather than fake love paintbrush the situation, you can gain your power. You can get your power chakra working, and you can begin to move through the density, the third density, with love, with power, with vision, and to be on top of the energies.
Thank you. When one is doing this, say, see the Creator and seek love in the moment. And I'm not sure, but it might have said, see the Creator in everything, but I'm not the actual quote. But what I notice, there are cycles I go through where there are days where, for myself, that's very easy. It just happens automatically. And there's other days when I feel like I'm behind the eight ball and I have to push through lots of inner obstacles to get to that experience. Could you comment on these two variations?
Thank you. When one has a distortion that comes in from the past and distorts the energy coming in, for instance, they may see a situation and may trigger something that was hard for them to get through in their past, and that may color their view of what is going on in the present, and they may experience emotions from the past that are difficult to override and need to be expressed, even though they aren't related to all the fine-tuning of the current situation. Then it becomes harder in those situations to move through it. When there are, within your own energy system, areas of unclearness, of fog, sometimes when the situation creates an energy that attempts to move through an area of fog, it takes some time to clear it. It is a process of growing, of coordinating past experience that can be dismissed eventually, and to you move from a blockage to an area of wisdom that in the past has given you trouble, but in the current situation is clearing itself. And this is a very helpful process.
Thank you. Is that the, you finished?
Yes.
Okay. This is from Michelle in Cambria. And she says that I have noticed a connection between Cambria and the Elohim that is something far beyond coincidence. I know your messages have been channeled many years ago through someone who lives in Cambria, and I was invited to the weekly calls after moving to Cambria in 2012. For such a small town of 6,000 people, this is very interesting to me. And by the way, she's obviously referring to Daphne, who kind of started all this connection with the Elohim. What I feel is a vortex, a connection with nature, the Elohim, and the Arcturians, and a legacy with some ancient civilization that could maybe is Pleiadian or Lemurian. Could you give me more insight into Cambria and the Elohim and the things I'm asking?
Thank you. There are ancient connections in the area that are revivified or reestablished, brought to life by the presence of deity, and the past relationships in Cambria with the Lemurians' position, with the Arcturians, there are pasts that are connected and are revivified or brought to life, activated by the presence of even yourself in the area. You are sensitive enough to feel the energies and could trace the connections within the ground, within the mountains, within the area and its connection to past connections with Elohim.
So she has it pretty accurate then, yes?
Yes. No. It is patchwork of energies, but they have been laid in a patchwork, depending upon the individual location from the past.
Mm-hmm. Was Cambria part of Lemuria?
For a time, it was, yes.
It
was a safe haven for a while.
Okay. And was it... Well, let me not ask any more questions on it. Let me go on to Deb in La Pine, Oregon. I would like to know if my cat Buddy, with his cancer tumor, can be healed, or does he want to cross over to the other side? I know cats hide their pain well, and I'm sure even with pain medication, his pain is severe. If he wants to cross over, does he want me to assist, or does he want to do it on his own? I don't want him to see him suffer needlessly.
There's something the Buddy is going through. And he has his own rhythm and his own cycle. It is something that he should be left to deal with and to move through as best that he can, rather than to take over his process.
Now, could somebody like Art Franklin help Buddy?
You can give Art a call and check if he has any liquid supplements that could be given to Buddy. You would need to get Art's telephone number from Wynn.
Thank you. Okay, next question. From Don Herman. Don, I may not ask both your questions, but could the source's comment on how we can increase our intuition and use our intuition to make good choices, especially when there is no way to research the choice. Thank you. You know, let me make a couple comments, Don, because it's an area where I've had some experience, and I can say the voice of your intuition comes in the silence. And if you're thinking all the time, if you're kind of like trying to weigh things out logically, you then lose the ability to hear your intuition. And it's like an exercise, and this is something everyone can try. We once did a workshop on this, and it was quite amazing. And it's called the I Am Ra workshop. And we went around, everyone on the call, and everyone would have to say the words, I am Ra, and then not censor anything that came out of them. Say, what would Ra tell you to counsel you? Or what would your high self tell you? And you can just write it down automatically. But don't think, don't look for what you're writing. Don't worry if it sounds stupid. Just write it down, because everyone on that workshop was amazed at the level of wisdom they had and how much they actually were able to counsel themselves, okay? And it seemed like it was a way to penetrate through your conscious mind. But the key is, don't worry what you're saying, okay? Or what you're writing. And, you know, particularly when you're doing that in front of people, it's a real challenge, because you have to say, what are people going to think about me? What if I stick my foot in my mouth? But it's amazing what can come through. Everyone has the ability to counsel themselves. Everyone knows on some level what they need to do next. And usually our conscious minds are just overly active, blocking our own inner knowing. And that was one way to get through it. Well, let me turn it over to our sources and see what they have to say on intuition.
Thank you. Often, when a person is very intuitive, they get snippets of information which can bring resolution or can bring them warning when there is something of a danger, and they get a premonition about it. It can give them information that is not generally available to them. And if they can look at the premonition and see what the premonition is telling them, and then they can evaluate it, not discount it, but take a look at it and what can be done potentially to change a premonition. The universe is not an isolated thing. It is connected, and it brings in information from beyond your own senses that can help you to see a situation and what needs to be done, even if it brings in information you do not even see within your own mind. It can bring in warnings,
visions of outcomes, and when the person can investigate the premonition and they have correctly identified the reason for the premonition, it will resolve and the premonition will disappear. You have a connection to the universe that gives and takes information and can be very helpful to you in your navigation of your life.
Thank you. Okay, this is Janine from Salt Lake City, Utah. And Janine, let me just tell you, I don't know if you've ever tried Fred or Ed, probably for your situation, Fred. But Fred Brooks in Canada has worked with a number of people that have this situation. And in general, most of them have emailed me and said they had amazing results. So if you haven't checked in on that, email me. And I will tell you how to contact Fred. Or his website is heavenlyclearings.com. Heavenlyclearings.com. Okay, question. How can I tell if a person is possessed by a demon or a negative entity? And what do I do with the one I know of that follows me around, the demon, I suppose, and tries to have a conversation with? I have said as much of the like prayer, but he keeps trying. I don't want things to get worse, so most times I ignore or walk away. The other day, I shook my head no when it asked me if I wanted a dresser. And I turned around and walked away. Is there anything you can suggest? What do I say to it, if anything? I know it is tricky, and I don't want to make things worse. How can I become stronger when he keeps picking at me? Am I in danger of losing my soul? Thank you very much. Janine, Salt Lake City.
Thank you. Give us a moment. When an individual is following you, spirit is following you, it can be from a situation in the past where you have actually had a connection. And for some reason, they feel that they can connect with you or there is already a connection. Give us a moment. If one moves to the emotion that there are many answers to this question. If one moves to the emotion and engages the entity with emotion, then it can lead to an intensification of the process of connection. If one can change one's connection with their surroundings emotionally to move out of the attention range of the spirit, simply learn to move one's attention to another area. If the entity can't get a payback response, eventually the entity will get bored and
can eventually get. But if you pay attention and your emotions respond, then the spirit is getting payback. It is hard to be a spirit and to not have any connection. So that you, when you know the entity is there, there is some kind of attention. And it is very hard to be in the other realm as a ghost, to not have anyone to talk to. So when you flash your emotions, it is a payback. So if you can move to the area of boredom, and not to disregard vanity, not to fight vanity, not to flash anger at vanity or respond or say go away, but simply to observe them in the area of there's a fine level of how to describe to give them love, but yet to keep your own consciousness centered, that you can move on to the next thing and move them out of your own conscious field. If you have to leave the house, but not to respond with emotion to their advances. And we do say that Fred may be able to help.
Thank you. Next question. Okay. This is from Bob in Chico, okay? Now, let me just preempt this question and say, from what I know about what you're asking about, Bob, there is a lot of negative stuff involved with those areas, an extreme amount. And I don't think our sources should cover that or will cover it, because when we have tried to go into this kind of stuff in the past, even very briefly, Terry would get attacked, all right? So I'm not going to risk subjecting her to that. So you have to do your own research, or if you email me, I'll tell you some things you can research that I think give some indication on this. So with that preamble, I'll read Bob's question and ask the sources to just put a lot of protection around the answer, or if they don't want to answer it or go any further, just say, let's go to the next question. Okay? So, his question is the Earth hollow inside with a small internal sun and huge people living in Middle Earth? Admiral Byrd flew into it by the North Pole, and a Norwegian fisherman and his 19-year-old son sailed into it at the North Pole, and were guests of the Giants for 1 year before finally sailing out of it through the South Pole back at the turn of the 20th century. Now, let me say, those are, I don't know if those incidents are real or verifiable or not. Then he asks, what's the Elohim's take on this? Bob, Chico.
Thank you. Hi, Bob. We take a look and see that the Earth
to think of the earth as hollow. It is not a correct analogy. However, there are caverns that lead to areas of hollowness. There are huge caverns. There are beings that live in those caverns and survive in those caverns. They are underground. It's not generally known that these caverns exist. They have been a refuge for some entities and beings, and there is some connection between some of the earth on earth people and the people in the underground caverns. The earth itself, at its center, is not hollow. It is a plasma.
Of the beings that live in these caverns, are there a number of races, and do they integrate with each other, or do they keep separate from each other? Do they have conflicts with each other? Can we know that much?
Some of them keep separate from each other. Other ones are connected to alien spacecraft.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And in general, are they mixed service, self-service to others, or do they predominate on one side?
They have their own agenda. And some are more service to others than others are. Some of them are very service to self.
Mm-hmm. And is there something, Bob referred to a sun. Is there something that would be comparable to a sun in this domain?
Yes, ma'am. There is a light source, however, it is not the sun.
Years ago, when Daphne was channeling, she had said, or a source had said to her, that there will come a time when there are two suns in the sky. Could you explain that, if that's true, and what that means, if it is?
Give us a minute. We do not wish to go into that topic at this time.
Okay, thank you. All right. So I think we have time for one more question. That's a good one. And it's from Edna. And could source tell me more about the illusion of time? For instance, I had many lives before this one, and every life happened in a time in the past. Since time is an illusion and everything is happening right now, then am I living in the past and present lives right now? Is that correct? How does that work? I lived in Atlantis, and it was a very passionate life for me. Would it be possible to jump in the life in Atlantis and jump back to this life now? Could I jump to any life and change the outcome? The confusion comes when we know that Atlantis existed, but it's gone, destroyed in what's called past time. Could I jump from one life to the other and try to help other people in the past? It is confusing to understand how this works, but I'd be very willing to put a lot of effort to comprehend it. Thank you.
Thank you. The Akashic Record records everything that occurs as it occurs. It is possible to jump into that record and to steal the synapses, the impetuses, everything as it happened then. However, your point of power is always in the present. As day moves to night and night moves to day, lifetimes move to transition and move to other lifetimes. The time frame is experienced day to night and night to day. The Akashic Record recording contains all the elements of the now of everything happening at that very time of the now. One can jump into the time stream and can see the lifetime as it is occurring, or one can remember it as from yesterday moving to the next day, moving to the next day. It is a consensus reality belief that creates the illusion of time. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Edna brings up the idea that one could go back into the past and change something, and the future would change. And sometimes John Zborowski has brought up that idea, where you go back in the past, and then you change everything into the future. I don't believe it works that way. I believe
everything is created. So if you change the parameters of the creation in the present time, the person will miraculously begin to change, and the past can fade away, although the past is still there as a record.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in, to put it in a more slightly different way of asking it, it's like we know John Wilkes Booth shot Lincoln. And the idea is, and I don't think this is anywhere near true, but the, you know, just to be specific, you went back in time. You couldn't block John Wilkes Booth from killing Lincoln, and then everything would have changed as a result of Lincoln not dying. That's not what would change. You can change a pattern from the past in the now. You can clear the past pattern so it no longer impacts you. But you can't change history. You want to
think about history, the history is manifested by many, many people supporting it. Many, many people's memory. And therefore, those memories are anchor points that hold it in place.
I mean, if you change the memory for everybody, would that change history? I mean, could you say, have Lincoln being alive and all the things that would have happened if he had not been killed?
It is an area which we take a look real close. And we see that the Akashic Record holds the memory in place. And thus, the memory would stand as the act would not be changed. If one were able to view the whole thing from a parallel reality, which would be very, very hard based upon all of the anchoring that has been laid down. It has now been recorded as part of history.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to end this call. We're going to go to Whole Planet Healing. Thank you, our sources, so much for answering our questions tonight. Thank you, everybody that asked the question. The number for Whole Planet Healing, if you don't have it, is 712-770-4340, 712-770-4340, and the PIN is 250-513. The calls are getting more compacted. Usually it's from 7, and usually it's over around 7:25, and it's personal planetary healing session, kind of a condensed form of our Sunday call. So we'll see you, those of you that are showing up there. And in the meantime, thanks for being here.